Welcome to THA Talks, for free thought and open minds. Hello people, coming to you from London, UK and out to the universe. I'm Paul Obertelli and this is edition 36 of THA Talks, brought to you by Theo Humanist Arts. Here at THA Talks, we bring you weekly shows and all the best interviews we can get our sticky mitts on. Just go to www.thatalks.com to listen to or to download all our free content. Our talks include news, conspiracies, spirituality, the occult, science, history, art, philosophy, religion and much more. If you'd like to get hold of us and send us any of your thoughts or ideas for the show, maybe a request for potential guests, you can do so by emailing info@thatalks.com. If you like what we're doing here, you can subscribe using our RSS feed or through various podcast directories like iTunes or Stitcher. Visit our website for more details on that. Just like to give a big thanks to all our listeners for downloading the show again and for telling your friends about it. A big thanks to Brazil. Thanks to all the Brazilians for checking it out. We've just noticed we've got a higher download percentage from Brazil, and of course thanks to everyone else as well, but it's interesting to see that a lot of Latinos over in Brazil that are digging the show, so thank you. And joining me here today is a surge from a dramaturge, David Parry.
Good afternoon, Mr. Obertelli, how are you?
Yep, all good, looking forward to the show as usual. And yourself?
Well, I know one thing, young man, you can take that look off your face. I've seen through your smile. You would love to be right. I bet you didn't sleep good last night. Bugger, I can't remember the rest of the, song. Elaine Page would kill me.
Oh, well, don't worry about it. You'll get it right next time, I'm sure.
But it's all about being right and wrong and maybe perceiving things that others don't understand, you see.
Well, I'm just focused on this interview today because it's a really interesting one, because today's guest is actually going to be speaking about things that are very outside of the box, where he's actually got a very inside of the box job. So that's always intriguing. Today we'll be speaking with Simon Parks, who's an elected Labour councillor. And Simon claims to have had alien contact from childhood to the present. He also claims his mother and grandfather both being involved in British secret intelligence and UFO and ET cover-ups. So how mouthwatering this is, David.
Perceptions. I am very sympathetic to some of the claims of the UFO community, having seen one myself at one point. This puts a whole new dimension on it. Let's hear what he's got to say, Paul.
I'm not too sure if it's a new dimension. I mean, alien, you know, these abduction experiences and such like that. It's a very, very broad spectrum, but there's a lot of different flavours within it. So, as they say, they only need one of the incidences to be true, and we have ourselves a case for that, which makes it very intriguing.
Oh, I've no doubt of that, but he's making some quite startling claims.
Mm. Oh, absolutely.
You know, including having children in other worlds. I mean, that's not what most of the UFO people are talking about.
Well, should we get to it?
The UK's first ever annual Paracon, November the 22nd and 23rd. This is guaranteed to excite all levels within the paranormal community. This event will showcase some of the world's best paranormal personalities, covering all paranormal genres, including the ultimate paranormal roundtable.
Hello, Simon. Welcome to the show.
Hello. It's lovely to be asked. Thank you.
Well, we appreciate you coming on. It must be a busy life. With all the politics and so on that you're involved in and whatnot. Basically, I mean, it's an hour long show. You've been talking about a lot of fascinating stuff for quite a while now regarding ETs and about British intelligence and so on. On the first shows, we tend to kind of just sort of try and cover as much ground as we can, and then see if we can get you back on to cover more ground, because as I say, there's so much to go over. Could we start off maybe just talking about these beings that you've claimed to have been in touch with, who they are, where they come from, and what they want, if we can start off from there, maybe.
Right, that's absolutely fine. I didn't sort of get in touch with them.
Right.
they got in touch with me from a very young age. I think researchers tend to have quite sort of boxed names for these creatures. And the general public tend to say reptilians, and as if that was just, you know, covers all groups. The particular reptilian group that I am familiar with are called Draconis reptilian. I am aware of two other groups of reptilians, but I'm sure there are many others. In terms of the what the British call the mantid, the Americans refer to as mantis, that's another group or a part of a group that I have experience with. I very rarely see the greys, you know, your typical Hollywood style grey, very rarely see those. So all through my life, I'm 54 years of age now, and for as long as I can remember, these creatures have visited me, not just at night time, can be at any time of the day, and it doesn't actually matter if I'm with people. Other people have seen them as well, which is very shocking for them. They find it very hard to come to terms with. So basically, it's a range of creatures from the fourth dimension. A lot of people refer to them as ETs. There's a guy called Charles Hall, who unfortunately I haven't had the chance to meet, and he's been to Britain on two occasions. And he refers to the tall whites. These are your absolute typical ETs, because they take between 15 to 20 years to travel here.
Yeah.
So that is an extraterrestrial. The sort of creatures I'm referring to open portals, come through portals, and so they're not actually traveling in your sort of typical science fiction style in a spaceship. So there are many types of visitors. There are other creatures which you could call elementals, such as the djinn or the demonic entities. They're interdimensional creatures. So I have a quite a range of visitors.
Right, yeah, sounds it. So, and what were the ones that you would say you had most dealings with?
And the creatures that I've had the most interaction with would be the mantis. In 1971, when I was around about 12 years old, I made what researchers refer to as a soul agreement. Mm. To me, it was just a deal. I just made the deal where I accepted an offer that they made. I was going to be that or the reptilians, and frankly, I'm never at my ease with the Draconis reptilians. Therefore, I chose the lesser of the two evils, which was the mantis. So it'll be the mantis that will generally come and collect me.
Okay. So, I mean, so these guys, they're not getting on together then, the mantis and the reptilians?
If you can, I'm going to look at it from a 3D perspective. If you imagine oil was discovered off some country's coast, then you might find that the Americans supplied the boats to go and get the oil. The British might supply the drilling bits, the Germans, the cameras. So a range of countries would come together to exploit something. And you'll find with the human race that a range of alien creatures have come together to interact with humans. Each particular alien race is looking for a particular outcome from its interactions, although they all share the main group. The mantis have a very interesting role. If you can think of a soccer game, there's a referee, and the mantis creature is looked on by a number of other fourth dimensional entities as a referee. So the mantis actually will go in and diffuse difficult situations that are occurring in other groups or other universes. And so I wouldn't say that they don't get on. I would say that each individual group has its own agenda.
Okay, so these beings that you're in contact with, are they three-dimensionally physical? Could you sort of give them a high five, or are they astral?
When any creature comes from the fourth or other dimension, there is a period of time where they are non-substantial.
Yeah.
They will solidify into very real physical being. However, they can stay sort of interfaced between the third and the fourth dimension, in which case they would see an outline. Sometimes you'd see bright colours. Occasionally you'll see them as sort of smoke, although that might be a djinn. It depends if they are intending to spend a period of time. If they're going to interact with you, then generally they will come into the physical form, unless they're intending to take you out of your body from an astral or an etheric take, in which case they don't need to come into the physical form. They will arrive in an energetic form, take you in an energetic form, and then off you go. So it's horses for courses. It's whatever their agenda is at the time, whatever amount of time they have, because they are always attempting to evade the Earth government, sometimes attempting to evade other alien races. So it's like project management. If you can imagine a group of humans building a bridge across a river, well, this is many times more complex. You are going to come to another planet. You're going to interact with the creatures on that planet. You do not want to be detected. You don't want to be overheard. You have to get in, do what you need to do, and get out. And these guys have been doing this for thousands of years. And as human technology increases, so their task gets harder and harder. There will come a point when they will always be detected. Reach that point just yet, but we're not far off it.
So what is it they want then? Why are they here?
Which group do you refer to?
Let's say the guys that you're the Mantis.
The Mantis, they will always interact with humans on an individual level.
Yeah.
The reptilians tend to interact on a group level. So it will be the reptilians that will be working with the National Security Agency of America or the CIA. Every group has something different. With the Mantis group, it's more about bloodlines. So so the Illuminati on Earth are following a number of humans because of their bloodlines. If the reptilians are interested in that particular bloodline, let's say a bloodline goes back to ancient Sumeria or back to the Jewish time, they will follow that. So Mantis are particularly interested in the development of living creatures who have a soul link that goes right back in history and a physical bloodline link that goes back in history. And sometimes what will happen is the Mantis will come in and they'll say, well, hands off this particular individual. We are managing this individual. And then they will have a sort of a turf war with others to decide which of that family, you know, is going to be run by which particular group. So in my case, that didn't happen. I was actually given the choice. Who did I want to associate with most? Who basically did I want to have guarding me? And in 1971, then I chose the Mantis group. Don't regret that, because the alternative perhaps wouldn't have been so good.
Right. Okay. So basically, there's the good guys and the bad guys, and you're basically with what you believe are the good guys. Basically, that's what we're saying.
You know what? I don't think any of them are good in the human terminology, in the human sense. I think that it's very hard for Earth humans to try and put their values of what is good, what is evil, on a completely different species. Until humans fully understand, Earth humans, I beg your pardon, Earth humans fully understand what makes these creatures tick, it's very hard to know. I think it's about agenda. If you can understand or have a good handle on what a particular faction of a grouping agenda is, if that's fairly benign to yourself as an individual and benign to the Earth, and I think that's something to develop and go with. If you know clearly that it's a negative agenda, then you want to keep well away from it. So with the Mantids, the agenda, from my perspective, was not too bad at all.
Right. Are these, are these beings the same things maybe that in the past people have associated with demons and stuff? Do you think that's pretty much where it's coming from, the same thing, or is it something totally different?
I think in those cases that would have been djinn, that would have been creatures that are interdimensional, that live between the third and the fourth dimension.
Right.
I would think that many cases where people refer to demons, then they are actually encountering djinn. These creatures, if you went back to the Middle Ages and a mantis creature or a reptilian creature walked into the market square, yes, I'm sure everybody would throw their hands up and shriek and think it was a demon. But I think in history, if you look back, certainly from the Renaissance period onwards, people's descriptions of demons are far more relevant to the bearing of a djinn than are to a reptilian or anything else.
I think it was in one of the Egyptian pyramids. It might have been a Mayan tomb somewhere. I think it was the Egyptian, but it actually had a depiction and a bit of a description of a ritual they'd done, that they actually raised this reptilian type being. They even have the date and say at this date, at this time, this such and such a reptilian was raised, and so on. Do you, when you, I mean, I don't know if you've heard about that before, but when you hear that, does that sort of strike you as maybe one of the reptilian beings?
I think any culture that relies on sacrifice as its driving force will ultimately have a draconis reptilian background. It'll be their teaching and their learning. The reptilians are totally driven by ritual and ceremony. And if you look at the Mayan and the Aztec religion, remember, these are sort of, they're not old, they're 17th, 16th, 15th century. So we're not talking, you know, thousands of years ago. These civilizations relied on slavery, as did the ancient Roman Empire, but these ones relied on slavery and sacrifice. Now, as soon as you bring sacrifice in, you're talking about reptilians. A lot of these Mayan Aztec pyramids at one time were energy nodes, portals, where reptilians could come through from the fourth dimension and stay for a period of time. So it doesn't surprise me in the slightest.
Okay. Well, moving the subject slightly, there are people out there, one person in particular running a group called the Disclosure Project, fronted by Dr. Stephen Greer. I'm sure you've heard about their work before in this field. What are your views on what they're doing? Do you think it's genuine, or do you think it's maybe a distraction? Does it cover the kind of stuff you're experiencing?
I haven't got any time for Dr. Stephen Greer.
Right.
The reason for that, he raised a phenomenal amount of money from very, very honest, well-meaning people. And then he produced a film which really didn't go anywhere and do anything. And to me was a tremendously wasted opportunity. So that's the first way I'll say that. The second way I'll say that is I actually know personally somebody who approached Dr. Stephen Greer with a very genuine offer to look into.
Okay, folks, sorry, we had a bit of a technical issue there and we got cut off. Back over to you, Simon.
Thanks. It's not unusual to have interference like this. It's fairly common. Yes, a very good friend of mine made a very serious offer to Dr. Stephen Greer regarding some knowledge of free energy. And the first thing Stephen Greer said to him was, well, how much is in it for me? So my friend said, well, it's not about how much money is in it for anybody. It's about the benefit to the earth and to the benefit of the people of the earth, in which case Dr. Stephen Greer wasn't at all interested. So I base my answer to your question on those two facts. So, no, I'd have more time for David Icke than I would for Dr. Stephen Greer.
That was one of my questions I was actually going to ask you, is that the reptilian beings that you speak of, are they in the same kind of pocket as what the beings that David Icke talks about?
David Icke is an absolutely amazing researcher. He does experience, but doesn't experience in the full range.
Yeah.
I would probably agree with 90% of what David Icke says. I think it's very, very difficult to explain to people who haven't seen these creatures just how a reptilian can take control of a human body. I think that's been very, very hard for a number of people who, you know, really like what David Icke says. And then as soon as David Icke started to talk about the reptilians, he lost a lot of people because the concept was just too much for them to understand. I think people are changing now. People are understanding that the governments are lying to them, and they are looking for alternatives. So I think the message is good, and I would support what David Icke says.
Okay. Right, we've had a guest on the show called Ed Grimsley, and with his colleague Richard Lenny. They basically talk about and go on these kind of sky hunts where they film UFOs with night vision scopes, and they've claimed to have, well, they've quite well known to get some very good footage of UFOs fighting up in the sky, actually attacking each other. What are your views on that? Do you think that that's again tied into beings that you're encountering?
Well, for first off, you may well have human controlled spacecraft fighting alien spacecraft You may be looking at one group of alien spacecraft fighting another group of alien spacecraft. It's not clear cut. Everyone's after their own piece of the action. Excuse me. So unless one can actually identify the alien craft or the type of craft, it's incredibly difficult to know who's piloting these vehicles and who is the bad guy and who is the good guy. But yes, there's a war going on. There's a war going on above the planet. There has been for quite some considerable time. And people who are very dedicated, have the right equipment, can film these things. You know, the main media could easily film it because they've millions of pounds and the best cameras in the world, but they won't film it because they've been told not to film that. And it relies on these volunteers, these dedicated individuals who go out night after night in sometimes the most cold and atrocious conditions to try and bring evidence and proof to the people. So, you know, all power to them. They're doing a great job.
Okay, then. Well, I'm going to turn to my colleague David for a moment to get some of his views on all this. David, what are you making of all this?
Well, I mean, it's very, very interesting material, isn't it? I'm having more troubles than usual knowing where to begin with this one. Simon will be relieved to hear I'm going to avoid the obvious gags, like whether they vote New Labour or Conservative. Also, I suppose I'm going to avoid the obvious comment about are you seeking higher office in the Labour Party? I'm something of a diehard Jungian. When I hear about flying saucers, I tend to think of Jung's book, what was it again, Flying Saucers, A Modern Myth of Things Seen in the Sky, I seem to recall, where he basically says, if we ignore our religious obligations, the spiritual forces beyond any sort of human understanding can sometimes take monstrous and very forceful forms, so that we give them their due, so that we take our rightful place in the continuum. So, I mean, I'm hearing about reptilians or dragons. I'm hearing about Islamic jinn. I wonder what you think about that, Simon. Are these masks for forces that none of us can ever really understand? Is it something of a total mystery that we're engaged in?
I don't think it's a total mystery. I think that there are so many thousands of people all over the earth in different countries who speak different languages, who report very similar spacecraft, very similar creatures. And you've either got one or two groups who are play-acting, going to people and trying to impress them with a vision so that they go out and say, well, I've seen this, I've seen that. Or we genuinely do have a situation where the earth is being visited by a whole range of creatures and have been for many thousands of years. So I think it's about looking at the evidence, talking to people who are obviously not crackpots, and people who have given some good descriptions of what they've seen. I'm sure that we could look at people like Jung and Freud. I wonder if Jung and Freud ever saw a flying saucer themselves.
Well, that's a very good point. I mean, let's take that sort of comment forward. I mean, I'm coming out this year. I've actually seen a flying saucer, and I've had a wealth of paranormal experiences myself. So the organisers of Paracon UK are forcing me to come out this year. I'm looking forward to it. But it doesn't really address the point. I mean, John Mack, who was a very learned psychologist and wrote, Abduction, Human Encounters with Aliens. I can't remember the titles of these books today. I mean, you know, it talks about masks and identification and spiritual forces, religious forces trying to raise our sense of consciousness. I mean, I'm not into the nuts and bolts thing. There are a couple of guys with big machines who are a bit ahead of us. Big deal. I mean, any of these creatures doing us any good, if that's what they are? Or, again, are they simply something else in disguise? I would find it very easy, bearing in mind the human sort of limited apparatus we've got intellectually as well, to judge these things. that we just have missed the point largely. That's not saying anyone is not experiencing these things. I believe they're real, as Dr. Mack did. But, you know, just because we believe they're real doesn't really answer the question. What do you think of that, Simon?
Well, first of all, I think Dr. Mack was a wonderful human being. And I think that he's very brave. When you are in a 3D profession, such as medicine or science of any sort, and you hold a label of doctor or professor, as soon as you then break ranks and give your views, then the whole of the system comes down to crush you. So, you know, he was tragically struck down, wasn't he, by supposedly a drunk driver while he crossed the road. I think that in some cases, jinn will come to people as an angel. If someone's a very religious person and you want to get this person to be on side, then you'll come and you'll pretend to be an angel. You could be a devil, you could be a demon. I would say that I'm not an abductee or a contactee, I'm an experiencer. And the reason I'm very, very particular about that is on some of the experiences I've had, an alien will literally enter the room. We won't go anywhere, it will just enter my mind. And then it will give me an experience. Now, I know for a fact from talking to other genuine experiences that these creatures have entered their mind and they perceive a completely different being from the being that entered their room. So by going into that person's mind, those creatures have the ability to make you think you've seen a tiger, or you've seen a beautiful woman, or you've seen Jesus, or something like that. So we're not talking simply about someone who's knocking on the door and saying, I've come to sell you double glazing, do you want it, yes or no? We're actually talking about creatures with a very, very complex agenda, who have incredible abilities in their mind, with enhanced by electronic devices, to really give the human race the runaround. Your final point was, is it for good or ill? I certainly am of the opinion that the majority of the reptilian races are not positive for Earth. And not all of them, but the majority are not positive for Earth. There are a number of fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth dimension beings who now have sat on the fence for long enough and are now actually becoming involved to redress the balance of the playing field. In terms of the mantis are playing their own game. I would say that there are a number of alien beings in the fourth dimension who wish to keep Earth and its human population the status quo, just to keep it the way it is, whereas I and many others want this human race to evolve and to get on and do what it needs to do.
Simon, don't get me wrong. I think you're a very, very brave man. I mean, you're someone in public life. Coming out and saying all these things, I think it's laudable on every level, and that was extremely interesting. I'll tell you where my source of concern is coming from. You said you made an agreement, a deal with these entities, with these forces, with these powers. Excuse me, I'm choking this afternoon as well. Perhaps we're all under psychic attack, what a thought. So I'm hearing about dragons, I'm hearing about demonic pacts. You know, I'm hearing something very traditional, using modern clothes, wearing modern clothes. I'm not hearing anything particularly outrageous or strange or futuristic. I hear the storylines of thousands of years being replayed in a modern form. I got very unsettled when you talked about the deal that you made. And I just wonder if you could explain that a bit more. And would you say that you're at least sympathetic to the idea that these storylines are very old and just in modern dress at the moment?
Well, I'm sorry that I unsettled you. I really wouldn't want to unsettle anybody. But sometimes the truth is unsettling. The deal that I made, and I'll give it to you word for word, was this. Would you like to be like us? To have knowledge and understanding, to see the future, to know the past, to have power and authority. And I said, yes. And then the creatures who had his hand on my shoulder went down, took my hand and said, then come with me. So that was the deal I made.
I mean, that sounds to me like a very traditional bargain with some evil force. What do you think of that?
Well, I'm not dead, and I've not been hurt or tortured, And none of the people that I've been with have been hurt or tortured. And I think that it's not an evil force. I think it's a force that's used to been exerting a lot of authority. It's a very proud race, the Mantid race. They've been around a very long time. And I think that they offered me a deal to play a greater part in the time that is nearly on us. So no, I don't think evil. That's why I didn't go with the Draconis Reptilian group, because then I would have been into satanic ritual. I would have been into murder, all the other things that the Satanists do. So no, I'm not down that road.
Simon, it's very, very interesting and a lot of food for thought. Paul, young man, time you got back in.
Yeah, interesting stuff. I was just thinking regarding your position with Labour and your colleagues there. Are they kind of pressuring you to knock this on the head and to keep quiet about it?
No, this is what really surprises the main media, and it surprises quite a few people. But you have to understand that the people in power know the truth. Those who don't know the truth are not in power. I've only ever had one phone call from head office. Let's call them head office. One phone call. And that phone call was, and I quote, "Next time you're going to go on primetime television and attack senior Tory government minister, for God's sake, tell us beforehand so we can get the press boys ready." That's the only call I've had. People in power know the truth. And really what changed the media, because at the start the media was just like everybody else, quite doubtful of it. But what changed the media was when a member of MI5 invited me to tour the secret radar base last year. Mm. And as soon as the media heard that, then they were absolutely into fits, because, you know, here's the guy who's come out publicly and said that his grandfather worked for MI6. He said his mother worked for MI5. He sees aliens, yet he's being given a guided tour of one of the most secure and important sites, not just in Britain, but in the world. And this is the three-phased array space radar at Fylingdales. And suddenly the media thought, well, this guy's obviously talking the truth. And that reflects, because when the new Pope made a statement a few weeks back that he would baptize aliens, you know, 6:30 in the morning, who do they phone for a comment? Me. So you get Radio 4 phoning me up, asking me to make a comment on the Pope. This is because the military have shown that they're quite interested in me. So my colleagues are incredibly supportive. I'm the chair of the most influential committee on the town. I'm a chair of another committee. And, you know, I did throw my hat into the ring to be mayor of the town, and I came second. Mm. So this is the problem for the media, for media who either are controlled by vested interests or just frankly have idiots on their staff. Can't understand how it is that somebody can say what I say and yet carry the confidence of other politicians. And the fact of the matter is that what I'm saying is the truth. And if these people were to get off their backsides and actually to go and do some research themselves, they'd find out that it was the truth. But the truth is very scary for some people.
Yeah. And has anyone ever tried to, you know, silence you, so to speak?
The only time I ever had something was when a breakaway group of Freemasons attempted to run me off the road. And that's the only serious attempt that's ever been made.
All right, so you're in the be careful of the Freemasons camp then, are you?
What I would say is that the vast majority of Freemasons are fantastic, hardworking, loyal, community-minded people. I know many Freemasons who give their time up and their money up for no reward to do some wonderful things in the community. So I'm not knocking the Freemasons. I'm knocking probably the top 5%.
Okay.
Who are in incredible positions of power, and basically have just lost the plot, and they're out for what they can get.
Yeah. Okay, there's one other issue I wanted to touch on. It is quite a sensitive subject at the moment, so if you didn't want to say anything, I'd fully understand, but it's regarding the scandal at the moment in the government with this sex abuse scandal, with that dossier that was covered up. Do you feel that any of what you're talking about, alien-wise and ritual-wise, like the reptilians and so on, do you think they're involved in that kind of scandal?
We haven't spoken about the Illuminati, really. This is the angle that I would particularly go down. You have to understand people like Jimmy Savile, incredibly highly placed within the top ranking echelons, are full Satanists. And, you know, if you are a practicing Satanist, you will abuse children. It's part of the ritual. It's what you do if you believe in that. I mean, it's on record that Jimmy Savile chanted in Latin while he abused children. Mm. Yes, absolutely. The problem is that so many of these people are still in incredibly high positions of office that you won't get the truth out until there's such a groundswell of public opinion that demands truth. And the only country that's done that in a peaceful way is Iceland. And that was never reported properly, where Icelandic people actually walked into their parliament, physically manhandled their members of parliament and threw them out on the street. That's never really been reported. Yeah. And of course it's not reported because they don't want that happening in Britain or America. So that's true democracy. And what we have at the moment is a group of people who are so used to abusing themselves with power, so used to never being challenged, never being asked a question. They've just done what they jolly well liked. And they've joined several clubs. And one of those clubs is a satanic club where people are tortured and abused. Yeah. Yes, it runs through very high levels.
Yeah, of course. The only thing that worries me with that as well is you do get a witch hunt. It's like what you said, that the majority of Freemasons, you know, are decent people and stuff, but it's there's a lot of people out there, they like to witch hunt. If they see that this is happening in a certain group, then all of a sudden anyone that's involved in paganism or a religion they don't trust, there's the risk of people being burnt at the stake that shouldn't be, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I think first of all, that Wicca or paganism, that isn't the issue. Anything that brings us closer to Mother Earth, to the way we used to be a few thousand years ago, that's to be applauded. The enemy is the man in the expensive suit, the expensive tie, the expensive motor car, who practices a satanic ritual and uses power to keep things in control. That's where the enemy is, not somebody who's humbly practicing some white or grey witchcraft.
I hear you there. Okay, so let's see what else I want to, I mean, you've also got a lot of interesting stuff regarding your family you touched on earlier, being like MI5, MI6. We're sort of edging closer towards the end, but I think we've got time to sort of see if we can cover a bit of that side of your information.
Okay. What bit we be?
Well, I mean, you said your mother was involved in the, it was MI5, and that she was involved in covering up some of the UFOs and ET information. Could you run us by that?
Yeah, very briefly. Okay. We haven't got the time. You know, colloquially we refer to it as MI5. That's not really how we would call it. It's the BSS, the British Security Service.
Right.
She signed the Official Secrets Act in around about 1965, 1966, and her job was to, old-fashioned typewriter in those days, type out documents that related to alien spacecraft that had either crashed or been brought down all over the globe and recovered by American special teams. Mm. The documents were all in German. They came from West Germany. These were a group of German scientists from Operation Paperclip who didn't want to go to America and escaped the Russians and wanted to stay in what became West Germany. And my mother's job was to receive these documents in German a handler would turn up and he would have translated them on a spool of tape into English. She typed them out, and then she had to take them by a special car that would collect her to Brighton Railway Station, where she would meet a guy, pass code words, and then she would hand the documents across. She did this until 1979. Unfortunately, what she was reading was just too much for her. She became an alcoholic. So she went to her handlers and said, "I've had enough of this. I can't stand it. It's just too mind-boggling. And you always promised me that you'd give me my old job back." And they did. She went back to her old job, and then within 2 weeks of that, she was dead. And I know that they killed her. Mm. And I know they felt they had to do it because the information in her mind was just too great. They saw her mother as a loose cannon, and so they did what they had to do from their perspective. Now, yeah, you can imagine. I mean, I was an only child. I didn't have a father. So at the age of 18, when this happened, I just wanted to run away. I got a job in London, which was 50-odd miles away from where I lived. I prepared to move away, and then a day or 2 days before I was to move, an envelope got pushed through the letterbox with £2,000 in used notes. And £2,000 in 1979, 1980 was a hell of a lot of money. That was my blood money. That's the money they give me for killing her. But ever since then, the security services have watched me. They play usually a listening role. And they've been quite helpful sometimes. I've occasionally had some very nasty interviewers, and somebody from the intelligence service has tipped me off, or in fact with the Americans, has actually gone and contacted these people and told them to sling their hook. I don't know what the American terminology for that is. So, and that's, you know, why I got invited to the space radar station. It's why people in power don't come down on me like a ton of bricks, because they've been told to back off. And so it is an interesting life. I can assure you it's a very unusual, interesting life.
Yeah, I bet. Okay, so, I mean, as I said at the beginning of the show, we've got so much to cover. It would be good to get you on just to sort of focus on a certain subject. Sure. If you'd come back on the show, that would be great, because it's been very interesting.
I'd be delighted to do
that. Yeah, David, have you got anything you'd like to throw in here as we get towards the end?
Well, just one last question, I suppose. It's been very, very interesting, Simon. Very, very interesting indeed. I'm focusing on the word experiencer. That's curious. Did you ever read Carlos Castaneda? You know, that great 70s phenomena. He was training as an anthropologist and as a Yaqui sorcerer at the same time. I mean, you remind me of something like a sorcerer's apprentice. All that experience, it means something like that. What do you think? Okay. What do you think of that?
Okay, that's a very, very interesting point. I'll be truthful with you, I've never heard the name before. I haven't heard the name before. Mm. The sorcerer's apprentice is an incredibly interesting comment that you've made. In my spare time, I assist people who have djinn possession. People who have been tortured by satanic forces or the Illuminati, who have multiple personalities. The Rothschilds even sent me one of their employees to put right, and I didn't know it was the Rothschilds who'd sent them. Had I known, I would have charged them a fortune. We are talking, you're talking magic. You have to use magic sometimes to undo some of the evil magic that's been done. My bloodline goes back quite a way, and that's an interesting subject. Maybe one day you need to pop by and we'll have a cup of tea together and we'll have a chat.
My friend, that is on the cards already, believe me. Paul, we're running out of time. This enchanting man, he must come on again. I'll leave the final bit to you, my dear.
Okay, yeah, there's another guy. Have you heard of a guy called Alex Collier?
I've seen a couple of his videos, and I've never met him, but I'm aware of him, yes.
Okay, and do you give him the thumbs up or the thumbs down?
I give him the thumbs up.
Okay, yeah. So you think he's genuine experiences?
Yes, I do, and I also know that his life was threatened. That's why there's a huge gap between his 1980s videos and the more recent stuff. He was told not to talk about the reptilians or the missing children, and if he did, he would be found dead. The difference between Alex Collier and myself is that Alex, unfortunately, or fortunately, interacted with fifth or sixth dimension beings who don't get involved in the politics on Earth. The beings I interact with have always interfered with the politics on Earth. And so if anybody tried to do anything too serious to me, then these creatures would very, very soon make their presence known. And that's why Alex didn't have higher protection. And that's why it was only in later life he came back on again. And you may know what happened. He's got his electricity cut off, his gas cut off. He was penniless. They brought a charge against him saying he was corrupt. And they destroyed him. They absolutely destroyed him. I'm not going to go down that road because there are agencies, individuals, whatever you want to call them, who wouldn't let that occur. And so I think that, you know, I need to go out and make people aware, push the truth, because I'm not going to end up on a railway line. I'm not going to end up in some ditch. So, you know, I'm going to do what I can to try and raise the awareness.
Well, I hope you don't. So, when was the last time you had contact with them?
The last time I can have contact and remember would be about 6 weeks ago. I get a lot of missing time.
Yeah.
But when I'm incredibly busy, I didn't go to Australia, but yesterday I did a live Skype link to Nexus in Australia conference. I've got another conference coming up in I think Friday. When I'm very, very busy like that, never mind the political work, I tend to not have any capacity left in my mind to remember when I get interacted with. I'll just have all this missing time, as the researchers call it. If I'm on a quiet run, say in January or February, then I'll tend to have more ability to remember. And sometimes when I have an interaction, I'll say to these creatures, I want to remember this. I want to remember what's happening. Because often they'll, I suppose my own protection, they will not allow me to remember certain things. Because there are many agencies on Earth who don't have the good will of the human population to heart. And they're always looking for new technologies or ideas or any plans. So, you know, look at, we can't go into it. We haven't got the time, but the situation in Ukraine is not what it appears at all. Mm. And stuff like that, you know, you can't have what I'd call the enemy having access to very important information.
So what do you think this is all going to come to? Can you foresee a time in the near future where we're all going to be a bit more familiar with these beings, or are they going to leave, or how do you see this panning out?
Well, I think you know, it's going to be in my lifetime. I've absolutely no doubt about that. 2016 is the last possible point for a portal opening. So whatever you want to call them, the Illuminati, whatever the negative creatures, have got until 2016 to play their trump card. So it'll be played in 2015. They tried it in 21st December 2012 when they tried to activate their CERN, the Hadron Collider. And if you've seen my presentation, we talk about how the Hadron Collider failed to operate. Next year will be the year of many things happening. I'm expecting some form of financial crash, but not in the sense that we would understand, you know, like a traditional financial crash. I'm expecting something to take out the infrastructure of a major country. And I think on the back of that, certain things will happen. My only concern at the moment with the Ebola outbreak is that if that disease is spread to other countries, you may find a mass immunization program on the cards. And I would just say to people, be very careful, because I'm sure there'll be nanotechnology in those injections. And I don't want people to be RFID'd, chipped. So there's an awful lot being played out at the moment. They're running out of time, the bad guys. They're up against a wall. They have got to try and control the human population. It's changing every day.
Okay, well, I'm sure there's some of our listeners that are very interested in what you've said and are very open-minded to it, just like I'm sure there's some that have got 101 questions they'd like to throw at you and doubt what you're saying and argue with you. They're all out there and stuff. But I think a lot of our listeners would like to have you come back on and cover some more ground on this, because as we say, it's certainly a lot here you've got to talk about. It's been great having you on the show. Wish you luck with your political side and your out of the box side, shall we say. It would be nice to have more people in politics that are as open minded as you. I know that much. You know, I think that's what the world does need. Unless David's got anything else he'd like to throw at you last minute.
No, I think that's it for me. Simon, we need a cup of tea or a glass of something a little stronger. I look forward to it on the cards, maybe before this year is out.
My dear fellow, you're very welcome. And what I would say is, if any of your listeners have got some serious questions, I don't care what they are, as long as they're serious, why don't they drop them into you and then you can ask them on their behalf?
Yeah, that'll be great. So take note of that, listeners. Anything you'd like us to ask Simon next time he's on, send us it in an email, info@thatalks.com, and we'll get Simon back on. And because we're not actually doing live callings quite yet, but we can certainly take your questions and ask them for you, so that's not a problem. Simon, thank you very much.
It's a pleasure.
It's been a pleasure, and we look forward to the next time.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye-bye. Simon Parks, we need another hour.
We need at least another hour. I mean, I'd like to remind our listeners that all of our guests have their own views. We don't endorse, support, or criticise what they say. We have our own views on the talks. They are on our podcast because they're interesting and lovely people, and we want them to say their piece. What do you say, Paul?
Yeah, I think you're touching on some of the claims then of that we don't want to get ourselves into trouble there. But it's obviously we're here to let people speak their minds and for our listeners to make their minds up and stuff. But regarding what Simon was saying about his experiences, it's fascinating stuff, and it's not all plucked from thin air. This stuff has a lot of substance and stuff. So who knows? You know, it's fascinating stuff.
Oh, I've suddenly worked out what the Elaine Page link was. I mean, she was so wonderful in Cats. I think it was one of the media sources described Simon's encounter with a cat woman or a cat queen or something. It's all suddenly come into place. Oh, my God.
Well, as usual, he was another interesting guest that we will be intending to get back on the show, because there's a number of things that we can just get him back on to focus on and to have a good old natter about that.
I think the connection with him in live, actual politics needs to be explored more. As lots of our listeners know, I mean, I'm doing all sorts of things at the House of Lords, left, right, and centre. I find politicians intriguing beasts. I don't mean that in a horrible way. It was a gag. I find them intriguing people. And anyone that shoulders a public life or public responsibility and who talks about things like this is really on a hiding to nothing. So it really gets my personal interest somewhat excited, and I want to hear what they've got to say more.
Yeah, and it was interesting we got cut off then. That's another little conspiracy on our show then, because sorry for
the Illuminati are at it again.
Well, it was very strange. It's the first time it's happened on the show, and I'm sorry if the quality dropped a little bit when we came back on, because I had to run our guests through my laptop, which doesn't sound quite as good as through my main studio setup. So we had to do that to continue the interview. So just explaining then, if you noticed a drop in quality. Coming up on the show, we've got Mark Marabello, PhD. He's going to talk about the Trek of Souls, ideas about the death journey from the Tibet to ancient Egypt and from Swedenborg to shamanism. We've also got Jonathan Zapp coming on, Raymond Tallis, Bart Sibrew and Marcus Allen, both going to talk about the moon landing, skepticism there, and the hoax research and so on. Man, I think that's it for today, David, isn't it?
I think that's more or less it, my dear. I know you're spooked by the fact that the CIA and MI5 are now listening to this podcast, but I think we'll survive.
We always survive. Thank you for tuning in, folks, and we'll see you next time. Please tell your friends about the show. Subscribe for our RSS feeds if you're interested in hearing more of the stuff we're doing here. Check out our Facebook page and like it, and you'll get all the links and bits of information and news that we'll post up there. Likewise, on our Google Plus and Twitter pages. I think that's about it for today. Thank you again.
That's it. Chelsea.
Bye-bye.